Let us turn again to the passage of God's word, which we read together, to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50, and at verse 4. Isaiah 50, at verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And especially the first part of the verse, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Well, we had said before us yesterday evening the background to the prophecy. And just to remind you, those of you were present yesterday evening, that it was that the Lord was speaking to Israel and to Judah with a view to the coming captivity. First Israel and then Judah. And it was because of their sins, their idolatry, their departure from the true God. And there is a repeated reproof of the people of God in an outward sense, though there were the Lord's people such as Isaiah among them. There was repeated reproof, but you see, there's gospel as well. There's good news for sinners in every generation. That's what we have. Good news, sinner. Is there something wrong? Are you feeling your sins? Are you feeling that the Lord is speaking to you in his providence? Still, what I have particularly to set before you is good news. The gospel that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Christ Jesus is the one that is speaking to us here. The Lord God the Father hath given me the tongue of the learned. And we would think of the learned in this world, ordinary human beings, and perhaps not so ordinary, if they have a great store of learning. But we can think of them as having received knowledge. They have stood on the shoulders of a previous generation. They have stood on the shoulders of their parents and of their teachers. And they have, stage by stage, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, they have learned in a considerable amount of knowledge. But here is one who is greater. As to his human nature, of course, he learned. His human mind had to grow. But he was a divine person. And it's Christ, the mediator, Christ in our nature, Christ the great prophet, particularly, that we have set before us here, a prophet to teach. That's the particular significance of Christ as prophet. We think perhaps too much of a prophet is one who foretells the future. And that's part of it. But the Old Testament prophets, yes, they foretold the future. But a greater aspect of their work was to teach the people of their time. There's no doubt many of the prophets that we may not know anything about them working miracles, perhaps even very little of foretelling the future, though there was an aspect of that in their work. But the great matter very often was teaching. They might have brought a new revelation, but the great matter was to teach the people of their time, and of course to teach the people of all future generations. Well, what we have here is the Lord God had given to Christ the tongue of the learned. He was, you see, a person who had got great knowledge. A differentiating between his human nature and his divine nature. In his human nature he had to learn. In his divine nature there was nothing he could be taught. In his divine nature, he was omniscient. He knew everything. And so, he was able to teach. And then, you see, there's this particular aspect of his teaching, power, that he knew how to speak a word in season, a timely word, a word that just suited the occasion. He knew how to speak a word in season to the one that was weary, particularly the one who was spiritually weary. You see, you might go and ask a minister some question, some spiritual question, some question perhaps about your duty. Now, the minister might know you, but how well does he understand what is going on in your mind? Perhaps he doesn't really understand where you are coming from. What's going on in your soul? And perhaps somebody careless comes to a minister. And the minister doesn't know if they're just as careless as they ever were, pretty well. Or has the Lord been speaking? The minister might be at a loss how to deal with this person. How to treat that person. I'm saying that by way of contrast. Christ knew. Christ knew perfectly. Let the rich young ruler come to Christ. And he knew how to deal with him. Let the woman of Samaria come to Christ. Or let Christ find the woman of Samaria where she was. He knew how to deal with it. It's just, if we can use a word that doesn't match the occasion, it was a brilliant way that Christ led on the woman of Samaria. He knew what was in her heart. He knew exactly what to say next. That's the one that's before us here. Now, of course, Christ is not to come to us beside a well or in a supermarket queue or whatever it might be. In a physical way. But he can send a word into our hearts, wherever we are, even in some unlikely situation, as well, of course, as coming to meet a sinner sitting in their pew in church. It might be that in the past, they hardly listened to a word that was said. And when the Lord speaks, yes, when the Lord speaks and gives the Holy Spirit to apply what is said, how effective that word can be. And if he has a purpose of bringing that sinner to a saving knowledge of Christ, that word, at some stage in that person's experience, that word will be effective. Absolutely effective. You see, that's what the minister cannot do. But you see, the Holy Spirit can lead the minister on in what he says, so that what is said is appropriate. And the truth is made effective through the Holy Spirit. That's what we're to be looking for. We do not know what to say, but what we need is that the Holy Spirit would take the words, and what we need is that we would be given the words, not the minister's brilliant thoughts. That's not the point. It's the holy words of Scripture and applied to the sinner's soul. And the soul of a sinner is beyond the reach of a minister. It's not beyond the reach of the Holy Spirit. It's not beyond the reach of the prophet on the throne of glory when the truth is applied by the Holy Spirit. Let us be asking for that even today and tomorrow. And every time we are present at public worship, family worship, private reading. That's what we need. The word to be applied with power to our souls. That's what we need. Grace to be seeking that application by the Holy Spirit. And we must move on and come to 2 points. First, that Christ has the tongue of the learned. Christ has all knowledge. Christ has all wisdom. He is able to teach. He is able to act as a prophet. And secondly, this in particular. He is able, he knows how to speak a word in season, a timely word, to the one that is weary. Are you feeling weary? Spiritually weary? You experience various difficulties. They might be ordinary difficulties in your providence, but they're having a spiritual effect on you. They're making you feel weary. What do you need? Who do you need? You need the great prophet. You need the great one sitting on the throne of glory, having finished the work that was given him to do. He has sat down as you have it in Hebrews, in contrast with the Old Testament priests who had to go about their daily duties. They didn't come to an end. If they finished for the night, then they had to take up these duties again in the morning. Christ finished his work in this world, his work of sacrifice, his work of redemption, and he sat down on the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He sat down. The work was finished. Not the ongoing work from his throne in glory. That goes on. And that's what you're to be seeking. And in particular, to be seeking that he who is the great prophet would be speaking to you through his word and spirit, showing you the way of salvation and showing you the conditions that you can experience on the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. First then, Christ has the tongue of the learned. And second, he is able to speak a word in season to the one that is weary. Well, first, Christ. Christ having the tongue of the learned, and we might illustrate it in what is said about Moses. Moses, of course, was a type of Christ as a prophet. No doubt we could say more than that, but I don't want to get distracted from my main point. You see, what I'm referring to is Moses being called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." I'm not a good speaker, is what Moses was saying. He didn't feel he was suited to go out as the head of the Israelites, to be a prophet to them, as well as being, in effect, a king for them. But a prophet just now. He wasn't good at speaking. That's his own opinion of himself anyway. He might have realized his conclusion shouldn't have been as negative as it was. And no doubt that was true. But the Lord said to him, "Who hath made man's mouth? But who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Who made man's mouth? Moses. Go on. And whatever it is, speaking more widely and applying that just briefly just now, you might say in connection with a duty, "I am not this, I am not that." Are you saying that in connection with your duty to come to the Lord's table? I'm not saying that about everyone. But you might be saying, "I lack this, I lack that." Have you cast yourself upon Christ? Is that your desire? To cast yourself on Christ, and Christ alone. Is that not grace? Is there not grace in your soul? And may you be led on. If that is true of you, may you be led on as Moses was led on, but as Christ was speaking, I don't mean. Christ is the great high priest. Yes, he had the tongue of the learned. He knew that he had the tongue of the learned. He wasn't going to speak as Moses was speaking. But there's something of an illustration in Moses. Yes. And we see that Christ going to the synagogue in, the synagogue anyway, just now. And the people were astonished. And they said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty words? But that's not my point, just now. He works, mighty works. Whence hath this man these mighty words? This wisdom it is. And if he had wisdom as he had, then he would have mighty words. Appropriate words, timely words. Yes. He had the tongue of the learned. He had been given the tongue of the learned. As the God-man mediator, he had the tongue of the learned. And we might say, Christ has gone to heaven. I can't meet him in the synagogue. I can't meet him at a church service. I can't meet him at the well of Sychar. Or wherever. But he comes to sinners, not least when they are sitting in the pew. Yes. It's not what the minister says. In a sense. But the minister is the ambassador. The minister speaks. And the child, or even one who is not yet a child of God, that person hears Christ speaking. The minister goes out of sight. He's just an ambassador. But, you see, the soul hears Christ, who knows what to say, who knows exactly what to say. That's the thing. Be careful about saying, that's not for me. Be careful about that. When the Lord has found you, there are times when the Word of God comes with particular power to a sinner. There's a manifest power. The Word of God may do you good, much good, although you wouldn't feel a particular power. But in particular, when there is that power, be careful that you do not put it away from you. It's the great prophet. Do not put it away if there is reason to believe that it's the great prophet that is speaking to you. What is the power? I think what I should say to that is, there's authority with what is said. There's the authority of Scripture. There's the authority of Christ. Using the Scripture. And what does authority do? It gives you some sense that this is something you should listen to. Something that is intended to make you obey. You might see of somebody who's telling you to do something. He's got no authority. Now there are particular times when Christ speaks to your soul in your pew, or perhaps on your knees, perhaps just out for a walk. And there's authority with it. And you have to say, this is speaking to me. And then you should say, I must obey. And there's a danger in moving on as if that Christ had not spoken. You might not immediately realize that Christ was speaking to you, or that it was Christ that was speaking. Yes. But this is the word of God. This is the word of God coming with power. Are you recognizing that there's an authority behind what is being said? Well, Christ has the tongue of the learned. He knows how to speak. He knows how to get your attention. Perhaps you're trying to evade his attention. Be careful. It's the Lord God, the Son, who speaks through the Word. It is applied by the Holy Spirit. Whence hath this man this wisdom? Well, we might take our answer from Psalm 45. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Grace. The Son of God in our need, you're speaking from the throne of glory. And grace is poured into his lips. How comfortingly he can speak because of the gracious way he speaks. But we're not going to leave this just now. The authority, the power. And if the Savior is speaking to you, oh, be sure that you feel his power speaking into your soul. Or should I say, if you feel his power, make sure you obey. Make sure you seek grace to obey. Yes, there's a responsibility on your part. You see, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what the Savior was saying, using words from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all that mourn. Yes. The weary, as I hope to come on to notice. The weary, in particular. Yes. But what I'm pointing to just now is Christ's authority. And as far as he was concerned in this world, it was because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Spirit without measure, no limit. You might say the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter had a great deal of the Holy Spirit when they were preaching in various places. They had the Holy Spirit, but there was a limit to it. Christ had the Holy Spirit without measure. And he has that limitless authority, that limitless knowledge, that limitless power and authority when he is sitting as prophet on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, we must notice that Christ as mediator had this authority, this power, this knowledge, and the authority to transmit this knowledge because of what he did in this world. And his sufferings are referred to. I gave my back to the smiters, verse 6, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And you see that linked up with Christ going to the cross. We read that he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And that is referring, making use of what the prophet Isaiah was inspired to write. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Would Christ be ashamed in his work on Calvary? Would he be ashamed because of his reaction when they would mock him and scourge him? When they would hammer in the nails? Would he be ashamed? Would he be ashamed that he had committed himself to go to the cross? Would he be ashamed after the hours of suffering, of spiritual suffering? Was he ashamed when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No. He said, it is finished. He wasn't ashamed. He was satisfied with what he had done. He knew it would be accepted. Though there had been that separation between the Son in our nature and his heavenly Father, still, he was not ashamed. He could say, it is finished. He could give over his human spirit into the hand of his Father. He could separate his soul from his human body and rise again on the third day. And he was not ashamed. He was perfectly satisfied. You see, that's the word that's used. He shall see of the travail of his soul, the work, the labor of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And you can think of Christ as the great prophet on the throne of glory, and he is satisfied with what he did. He is perfectly satisfied. And when he sends the Holy Spirit to work in a sinner, he knows that he will not be ashamed. He is perfectly satisfied. And when the Holy Spirit goes at once to work in the heart of a sinner, that's a sinner that has been given to Christ in the everlasting covenant. That sinner is to be brought in. That sinner is to be constrained to follow Christ. And the work is successful. The sinner does follow Christ. The sinner is lending his ear, we might say, to the word of Christ to receive what has been done for him. Not in the first instance, receiving Christ and his work as done for him personally, but receiving Christ as the one who worked on behalf of sinners, and he's a sinner, and he's brought to receive Christ. Yes. It's not the question for a seeking soul, was I elected? Am I among the elect? That's not a relevant question as yet. We're to go in this order. We're to make our calling and our election sure in that order. Yes. To make our calling first sure. Have we been called? Have we found Christ? Have we found Christ as the Savior of sinners? And then, if we can say yes to that, we can say yes to the further question, was I elected? Don't get things out of order. Satan takes delight in muddling things up in a sinner's mind. He'll do anything to keep a sinner out of the kingdom of God. And one way of doing that is to create a muddle in the sinner's mind. Yes. But there's no need for a muddle. Just take the teaching of God's word and the what the Lord is saying to a sinner, the Lord who has the tongue of the learned and knows what to say at a particular time. You see, it's the gospel. The one who has the tongue of the learned is addressing the gospel not in the first instance to those who are elect. They cannot recognize themselves as elect at that stage. He's saying it to sinners. And every one of us should be able to recognize ourselves as sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes. He is able to save to the uttermost. Even though they are sinners. Even though they are the chief of sinners. Yes. Go to it. Take him as you are. Sinner as you are, not someone who has made themselves a bit better. But let us go on and say something about Christ speaking to the weary. Let us begin with this then just now. The words of Christ at the end of Matthew 11, where he said, come unto me. Who? Who are to come? Who had been invited? Who had been called? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, who are weary. Weary it may be after a long time trying to find the door. And Christ is saying, I am the door. I am the way into the kingdom. You do not need to weary yourself. Do not weary yourself saying, I must first make myself better than I am. No. You'll only weary yourself. What you need is to find Christ as you are, as a sinner, as a great sinner. You are a sinner. And Christ is calling sinners. The apostle made it clear that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the only description he uses. That should be enough for the seeking soul. But even if he cannot recognize himself as a seeking soul, Just take the teaching of the word indicating that you are a sinner. And Christ is able to speak a timely word to you. May he do so. Be sending up your petition from where you are. He says, come unto me. Although you have never come before or think you have never come. But he is saying, come unto me. No matter how often you have come in the past. You have entered a stage on the narrow way, which is very wearing, very difficult. But stop for a minute. Stop worrying about all the difficulties of the way. And here the one who is the tongue of the learned, and he may speak to you, recognizing who you are and what you are and what your difficulties are. Stop and listen to his words. He is saying, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why is he saying that? Because he has the tongue of the learned and is able to speak a word in season, a word in its proper time to those who are weary. Come, sinner. Take another look to Christ. Where will I look, do you ask? Oh, look to him who is calling to you. Look to him as the one who gave himself a ransom for many. Come to him as the one who is able to deliver you. Whatever difficulties you are experiencing, look away from yourself. Look away from any imaginary power you think you have. The power is in Christ. The power is in Christ's words. The power is in the tongue of the learned. Look to him. Now at the same time, he says, take my yoke upon you. Is he saying that? Take my yoke more upon you. Might have had that yoke on you consciously for many a year. But is there some aspect of the yoke that you must shoulder? And remember, when Christ is saying that, he is saying it in the same breath, so to speak, as when he said, look unto me, or come to me, it is at that point. But he also says, come to me. He also says, look unto me. Look at me as you find me in the word of God. That's the thing. Where are you to look? You're to look to Christ as he is revealing himself in Scripture. You're to look to Christ. Whatever difficulty there is now, whatever fresh yoke there is to be taken up, look to Christ. Yes. Look to Christ. Although you would be most of the way along the narrow way, although your time in this world might be almost over, for all you know, still, take Christ's yoke upon you. And of course, on a day like this, our minds may go out particularly to the yoke of Christ, or that part of the yoke of Christ that involves making a public profession of your attachment to him. Your attachment to Christ. I think the word was used yesterday, perhaps more than once, about Ruth's attachment to Naomi, and more particularly, Ruth's attachment to Naomi's God. Yes. Well, have you an attachment to Noam is God and to Ruth's God, then the Savior is saying to you, the Savior who is the great prophet, he is saying to you, take my yoke upon you. Now there are many other points I would like to raise, but I wish to spend a few minutes at any rate on the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back home, traveling through the desert in his chariot, and the Lord had a purpose of mercy to him. He was going away from Jerusalem, and perhaps he expected to find great things in Jerusalem, that the Lord would speak into his soul in a way that he had never experienced before. And now he's going away from Jerusalem. His hopes are disappointed, perhaps. But notice what he was doing. He was reading the scriptures. And perhaps particularly relevantly, he was reading about the Messiah. And he was going on reading, although he was struggling to understand. But the Lord had a provision in his hand, so to speak. There was Philip. Perhaps Philip was particularly suited to dealing with this man. Who knows? But the Lord sent, and started off the conversation. Can we doubt that this was the direction of the Lord from heaven? Understandest thou what thou readest? As if he was saying, how are you getting on with it? And he says, how can I understand unless some man will guide me? I need an ambassador, was the sort of thing he was saying. I need a teacher. Perhaps he was saying to himself, I need a prophet. But there's a messenger. And there's more than a messenger. There's the great prophet coming into the desert. Not just Philip, but Christ with the tongue of the learned. And he is whispering, so to speak, in the ear of his ambassador. Say this, say this. I'm not saying the words we'll use, but it's that sort of thing. That's a picture of it. And Philip preached Christ from Isaiah 53. That's what he was reading. He preached Christ to the man. Yes, and the man believed. The man received Christ. There was Philip there. There was the Holy Spirit there. There was Christ the great prophet there. And by God's grace, Philip was brought to believe in the one who is the tongue of the learned. He preached unto him Jesus. He would have spoken of Christ and what he did and what he was able to do for this man. And there was the presence. Oh, may we have that. May we have it here today. May we have it on Sabbath. May we have him on the Thanksgiving Day. May we have the Holy Spirit each time we gather in church, each time we gather for family worship, or go on our own to read the Bible, may we have the Holy Spirit. May we have Christ as the one who has the tongue of the learned, who knows how to speak a word in season to the one who is weary. Well, we need Christ. We need Christ as the great prophet of the church and the great prophet who speaks to individual souls. We need the Holy Spirit to apply these things to us. And we need our Phillips, will we say. We need our Phillips to come with the word of God. And whenever the Philip goes out, we need the Holy Spirit to apply the truth. We need the presence of Christ. Yes, as the prophet, to apply the truth. You realize what I mean by speaking of Philip or Phillips? It's ambassador. Yes, to speak a word in season as they are led on by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Christ is calling sinners, and he is calling his own people, and he is calling them to take Christ's yoke on them in all its aspects, or all its relevant aspects. And this is relevant to the children of God. This is relevant to the children of God, that they would seek grace to take that particular yoke upon them that I've been speaking of. And they need to seek that, and they need to obey. And this is a suitable time for the people of God who have not yet made a public profession of their faith to make that profession. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Give us grace. May thy people take thy yoke upon them. May those who are not yet in thy children, may they be given grace to take the yoke of obedience upon them, obedience to the call of the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, be with each of us. May we know what our duty is. May we be seeking grace from thyself. May we all get strength for thyself, for our duties. Bless us tomorrow. Bless thy children at thy table. Bless others, and grant to be with them, to take care of them. Pardon our sin, go before us and bless us, take care of us. And may we be looking to thee. May we look to thee continually. May we look to thee through Christ. May we come to thee through Christ. Bless thy word to us. Help us to be seeking. Grant that we would be occupying ourselves profitably. And may we be making use of thy word and meditating on it. Oh, go before us in every way. Wash away our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.